Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today we have the privilege of being joined by a couple of different influencers, Marissa Louie and Murray Newlands. And I think we have one on the line. Is that you, Murray?
Yes, hello. It's a pleasure
hello.
To be on the Hello. Very nice
hello.
To be speaking to you.
To you as well. And so we're spending today actually dedicated to a preview of the Social Media Marketing Conference coming up in San Francisco, which covers a lot of topics that are really pertinent to where we are right now with social media and, you know, some of the pain points or some of the questions that a lot of our clients are asking us. So, Marie, I know that you first did this. I think it was first done in London, was it not?
Yes, we had our first social media marketing 2010 conference in London a couple of weeks ago. And a range of different topics came out of it and different areas that people were really excited about within social media marketing. And we're just really looking at what's hot, what people are struggling with, what people want to learn about, and what they need help with. So we've chosen a range of speakers. Glad to have you as one of them. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, so when you say you or they, who are you?
Yeah.
Who's the target audience?
Okay. So the target audience for the event in San Francisco is anyone who's looking to use social media and social media marketing to really propel their business. So anyone from startups through to marketing managers and PR companies who want to work with social media to promote different types of company.
And so what are some of the things that you're hearing in terms of, you know, pain points that come up again and again, that you feel like there's a solution, we just haven't maybe talked about it enough?
We have a really interesting discussion which is happening later on in the event, which is about A/B testing in social media. And that is to say that you need to do a lot of, you need to run a lot of campaigns, you'll have a lot of failures, and you need to test what's working. And I'm really excited to have, for example, Dan from Flowtown talking about how you can look at your email marketing campaigns, where your audience are within social media, and how you can actually test out campaigns and really track and monitor what's working, what's not working, and what you should be doing to engage more.
Awesome. So there are some other, you know, what I think is great about the way that the description of the event is written is it really tells you what you're going to get out of the event.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, the expectations are kind of set already. You know, one of the things that I see on the list is ROI. And one of the things I think that's interesting is, you know, in talking with my colleagues, you know, whether it be in London or in Berlin or wherever, that there's sort of a different approach to the question of return in different markets. So it's approached in different ways. What's your take on the overall proof of value, I guess, of social media beyond just, you know, the return on investment question?
I think it's a really interesting question. People were bringing this up and that saying that last year lots of businesses wanted to do social media marketing and be involved in social media because it was cool. And now different parts of the business unit are looking at social media and working out how they can get a return on investment from those different sectors, such as customer service, looking at how they can improve customer life cycle by listening out for when customers are having problems and truly engaging with them, through to research and development and reducing times to market by listening for people saying, I want this type of product or I want this type of service and please can you build it in, and Maybe they're actually asking, they're talking about a competitor's product and saying, please, can you build this into the product? It enables them to really produce an ROI for the business by listening out, not just for the business as a whole, but then segmenting down those messages and those communications and feeding that into different business units in a very tactical way to produce some great business results. And it can be everything from those sort of levels through to if you're going to be producing a financial report for the markets, for example, what is the mood of the market and how do you tune in your messaging for your communication specifically to that mood that day, and how do you hit those key phrases to make sure that you are truly engaged in the conversation at the moment? And that's what really social media can do for you in many ways.
So you're doing the opening of the conference, which we should tell people happens on the 8th of July, which is a Thursday in San Francisco at Hotel Nikko, which is in the Union Square area. So it's at 222 Mason Street, which is on my blog if you need to reference it, which is jenniferlindsay.com. But you'll be doing the opening of the session. Can you give us a preview of what you might be saying?
Really, I want to focus everyone's minds on the topics for the day and really try and get everyone to engage with the day. There are going to be lots of talks and lots of panels, but actually to make sure that everyone, if you've got a burning question for your company, to make sure that everyone is not shy, to very much feel that they can come along and really get those burning issues, those burning questions answered. And just to work out how to work with the speakers and the rest of the audience to make sure that that they really get that full engagement, as well as to discuss what it is that they would like the specific panels to focus on. So that's really going to be the focus for my opening on the day.
And you have a couple of sessions on the media, and as a Columbia J School graduate, that intrigues me to no end. So there's two pieces, how to get digital PR for your company, as well as how tech writers cover social media. And you have friends of the A-list like Tom Foremski will be on that, on at least one of those panels. So talk us through the idea of having two different perspectives on getting press. Or tech writer, you know, either tech writers covering social media or digital PR?
I think it's really difficult as a startup or we're often led by younger professionals, but equally just those within a business to actually think outside of where you are. It's very easy to get wrapped up in your own, where you are as a business rather than a greater conversation that's happening about your industry, about things that are happening and where you need to be. Obviously getting some media coverage can be phenomenally beneficial for any kind of business, particularly those involved and engaged in social media. And so we really just wanted to actually ask experts. These are the people that you might be pitching your story to, hoping to get picked up by, looking at their counterparts and saying, how would we engage with those people? And having them, giving them the opportunity to discuss how they can be engaged with what they find is newsworthy, we really think could be beneficial for a lot of people. So initially, saying, okay, how do you get PR for your startup? What are they looking for? What is news? What's not news? Because it's equally as important to know what's not news. So what not to be pitching to people as what to be pitching to people. And then equally to look at it from the other side and just take a peek at, if you understand the, the lives of the people who are reporting the news, such as David Giles from the Financial Times, then you can really, it's much easier to understand how you're going to communicate what you're communicating with them. So we just wanted to give both sides of the conversation a sort of an airing, enable people to engage, to ask questions, as well as really to listen and get an understanding.
And hopefully not rehash the social media press release and actually talk about relationship building, because I think that's, you know, like any other
kind of,
it's really about that, especially in digital. It's more important than
and
ever.
And if you want to be building relationships, then this is a great event to meet many of the social media reporters in San Francisco.
Yeah, we should name some of the people. So obviously I mentioned Tom Florensky is going to be there. Ben Parr, co-editor of Mashable, who's just a fantastic guy anyway. You want to name some of the others? You have
absolutely. We have Chris Hart from Social Media Club.
He's a great friend.
Great guy, really sociable, really really able to, anyone who's able to reach out with him. I think the shyest person would have difficulty not wanting to chat away to Chris for hours. We have Richard from CEO of Technorati. Let's say David Giles from the Financial Times. We have Joe from the CBS Five team. We have Kim from Forbes, and a number of other people who we've sort of already mentioned, as well as yourself. So anyone who listens to this on a regular basis and would like to meet you, then this is an opportunity for them to reach out and discuss the show obviously with you too.
Absolutely.
There are loads
I
more.
Hear our stories of what we choose, what we don't, and what constitutes a program and what doesn't. And I think that part of actually what's really interesting is, obviously the keynotes are going to pull people in, but those haven't been announced yet. So can you give us any preview of anybody that is potentially giving a keynote that you haven't announced yet?
Well, we have Oracle are going to be giving a keynote. They've stepped in. They've got some really interesting stuff to talk about with the initiatives they're doing within social media and communities. We have a couple of surprises. One keynote who's going to be talking hopefully about luxury brands and the worldwide communications with regard to luxury brands and how they're leveraging social media. He's not a speaker who you'll have heard in a lot of different areas, but he's currently seems every time I speak to him, he's being flown around the world by a different luxury brand to help them with their blogging outreach and their social media communications. So that should be a really fascinating talk.
Well, we had a VC, David Salk from Matrix Partners, on a few weeks ago, and one of the companies they back is Gilt, G-I-L-T Group. I'm guessing it's going to be something like that, perhaps. So we'll be looking forward to seeing who ends up being on the list of keynotes.
Okay. Sorry, I'm unfortunately on a Skype call in, and I missed the last minute of that. So, that sounds good. And what I would say is that there is the hashtag for the event, which is SMMSF, and you can reach out to me at Murray Newlands. And if anyone has any questions that they would like to put to the panel or put to the speakers beforehand, I would love to get some of those questions, and maybe I can feed them in to the relevant people too.
And we do crowdsourcing for this show as well. So if you do have any questions for Murray or for Marissa, who's not been able to join us, unfortunately, but is also organizing the event, you can certainly get in touch with me, and I will make sure to pass them along to Murray and Melissa. So some of the other things, I'm really curious in our last few minutes here, what is, sort of different in London than in San Francisco in terms of program lineup and putting the event together?
What's been really interesting, I think, is that there are, I would say, maybe stronger online social media communities and where people have come from. In London, we had people who came from a very broad section of different communities to the event, whereas here in San Francisco, we've had a lot of people registering to the event from Mashable in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So a big thanks out to them. And also through Facebook. We created Facebook groups both in San Francisco and in London. And also we did a small amount of Facebook advertising in London as well as in San Francisco. And we really found that there was a huge increase in the draw, even given the same budgets and the same sort of targeting between in San Francisco as opposed to London. So that for me is really interesting, just as a mechanism for reaching out to people within this community as to where they're coming through from. Also in San Francisco, in London there is quite a big scene in the sort of social media scene, the startup scene, that's quite vibrant. But in San Francisco, we have a lot more smaller companies and startup companies who've been booking into the event. And so as we have developed some of the content as we've gone along, we have had a bit more focus on that in the San Francisco area. But I think that's just down to the cultures and the communities that are engaged in the different locations.
Yeah, I always – my husband's English, so – and, you know, of course, work with brands and companies that are international. Worked more with BRIC countries than anything else, but obviously talking with others, especially through Social Media Club, that are working internationally, it's interesting because it's, you know, for example, you know, going broadband in countries that have, you know, more of state-run networks or, you know, things have become largely privatized in the UK, but it happens a lot quicker. So if something's going to happen, it may take a longer time to get there, but it sort of happens, and everybody is upgraded as opposed to here where, you know, it can be a long, drawn-out process. So just had a friend come in from Wales just in time to see England kicked out of the World Cup. So apologies if you're a football fan. Yeah,
I'm not a football fan, so I wasn't too bad about that.
Well, they really deserved to lose, so that wasn't good. And you know, of course, the U.S. getting knocked out the day before, and so the neighborhood rivalry, you know, fun rivalry was kind of interesting when you have these international events that brings things together. But immediately, I thought about, you know, how Twitter's been down so much because of the World Cup. And the sort of the digital effect, right, of these events, whether you're a fan or not, you know that it, you know, for example, there's a program that I'm helping run that is reaching the CIO community, and we've been doing that effectively through Twitter, and it's been really difficult to do it consistently because of, you know, not being able to, you know, leverage tools to be able to schedule tweets about, you know, events, for example, that are happening at a particular time. So it's been sort of like you remember that we are the world, right?
I think one of the really interesting things for me is one of the talks in the London event we had, Brian Solis, obviously well known in San Francisco area, was on Skype.
On Friday, yeah. He's a good friend.
Yeah, he was on Skype and Skyped into the London conference, so we were able to bring some of America to the UK, and he was talking about the fact that within social media, one of the key things that developments he sees happening is the creation of niche lists and niche networks, even within your own conversations. For example, I don't like football at all. I follow some people, but I don't want to follow the conversations about football or sports. But I do want to follow other conversations. So as the Facebook and Twitter and the different tools build up, we want to increasingly reduce the noise that's happening, to have too much noise, too much publication happening, and really be able to focus on listening to the conversations that our friends are having and that are of relevance to us, rather than just to every conversation that our friends are having. And I suppose that works out in real life. I'm sure that lots of our friends have all kinds of conversations that we do not want to know about, don't care about, don't have the slightest interest in, that maybe are interested in to them at one moment, but generally, you know, you wouldn't want to listen to it. So why would you want to listen to it through social media? And I think that's, you know, a really fascinating, interesting point. And now that would resolve the World Cup sort of social media challenges if people were able to exclude that type of conversation from their listening and other conversations.
Interesting. Now, I think we've been joined by Marissa. Am I saying your name correctly?
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Marissa. It's Marissa here. I've been listening actually for the past 20 minutes, but for some reason my speaker ability wasn't turned on for some reason. So,
yes,
but I've been listening.
See you there. I apologize. I got so caught up with Murray, I didn't see you there. So welcome, and I'm sorry that
it
took me a bit to get you on. Now, we should say that you're I'm not sure how exactly you guys are co-arranging this. But
yes.
I think you're taking on the efforts of really, you know, letting people know about this event through your huge network here in the U.S. and specifically in San Francisco.
Yes. Well, social media marketing was such a large brand in London that we decided to bring it to San Francisco. So I was very integral in that effort. I helped put together a lot of the speakers as well as the sponsors and more of the local contact for the event, and it's going to be very exciting. As Murray was going through the speakers and the keynotes, we have Oracle sponsoring, Sugar CRM sponsoring, Mebo was interested in sponsoring, and so we've got a huge lineup. And I think it's very important at this time for us to bring the conference, just because we have a lot of self-proclaimed social media experts, but a lot of people don't know exactly what that means when it comes to branding, how to leverage it the best. And so we're going to get into the really, really nitty-gritty of how tech reporters are covering social media, of how members of the press have become some of the biggest voices in social media, as well as very deep strategies in the A/B testing for social media and building communities for brands. And so it's a very useful conversation even for the experts. And so the press are even not even have declined even being panelists, but will be in attendance. There are also other pretty famous CEOs who will be in the audience who felt that they were unqualified for some reason, who will also be in attendance. And I think it's just going to be a really, really intimate conversation of about 150 people in the audience and the A-list speakers and panelists. So we're really excited.
Very cool. And, I should point out that at this point that, you know, you have your own really cool, I guess startup business, for lack of a better term, that we'll talk about at another time. But you're clearly an influencer. I mean, you are published everywhere.
Thank you.
I'm curious how you got involved in helping organize this event.
Yes. Well, in terms of organizing it, I'm just so connected to a lot of these A-list social media experts and who are the real experts who are actually publishing books, for example, published by Wiley, such as Murray is, Brian Solis. Not just that, but connected to a lot of the press where I'm writing for Huffington Post and Adotis and Bloomberg Businessweek. Forbes asked me to write for them. CNN interested in having me write for them. And so I felt that this conference was a perfect nexus to sort of leverage that network and to work with Murray here, who's been a good friend for a while and a great collaborator in past projects.
Very cool. So chicken and egg, who had the idea first to bring it to?
It was definitely Murray. Hats up to Murray.
But I would like to say that while I might have had the egg there, there wouldn't have been any chicken without Marissa doing a phenomenal job.
Are you saying I'm the chicken and you're the egg? Oh my goodness.
There goes a new term. All right.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, I think that both Murray and I, and you as well, Jennifer, have been to so many conferences where we just don't get what exactly we want out of it, and we see a lot of sort of non-specific conferences for this particular social media marketing niche, where a portion of certain conferences might cover it, or you'll see, for example, the Twitter conference, which is all about Twitter, but it's not necessarily about social media marketing. And so that we're getting really, really specific into leveraging what Murray's background is in being a social media consultant and also having a past, in the past few years, having affiliate marketing as well, but really specifically his expertise in social media marketing. And so I think this is also a chance for Murray to sort of exhibit his abilities here, not just in being an expert in social media marketing, but also in showing that he can put together a huge conference as well. And so I think this is just allowing Murray to shine here.
And I hope you don't mind. I should let our listeners know that I've extended the conversation a little bit here because we got Marissa in a bit late, and I want to make sure that we are able to really discuss the value, I think, that the conference does bring and what's kind of unique about it, because I think that is a unique perspective. Murray was talking earlier about, you know, asking people, which you don't generally hear from conference organizers, and it's really refreshing to hear him say, you know, please, you know, send us in your questions. We want to hear from you. Doesn't happen nearly enough. So I think that's a very, very cool thing, you know, and I think people should definitely take you up on that offer.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And I think also this will be one of the first conferences where we will have the ability to not just push content ideas to the audience, but we really, really want to engage not just before and after the conference where everybody's not even in the room, but during the conference where we want the speakers to be engaging with the audience itself, just because it's such a close-knit community where we handpick and we hand-invite members of the audience. And so it's a really exclusive thing where we want a certain caliber in the audience as well and to have an intimate conversation. We want it to feel that it's not a conference, really, but more a conversation, an entire day of a conversation with these really, really notable speakers.
Which is very cool. I love that concept. We've at Social Media Club, I've co-moderated panels with Chris Heuer, or you know, have moderated panels where we call it a reverse panel, where we do handpick people, or instead of inviting them onto the panel, invite them to the event so that it encourages discussion from both sides of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a fantastic thing. I want to, you know, because I promised that I would give a discount code, there's a 10% discount code available for the event. It's 10SMMSF14. So if anybody's listening for the discount code, you now have the discount code, which I have posted on my blog as well. So talk to me a little bit about the viral aspect, because I've more than ever I feel like I'm hearing people or companies, clients that I work with, talk about wanting to do viral campaigns, but often what they're thinking of in terms of viral is very, I don't want to say old school, but really is. It's the kind of contesting that we've seen for really years now. And so I would imagine that we're going to be looking at, you know, really where viral marketing can go already and where it's going. Can you talk a little bit about the emphasis on having viral be part of the program?
Yeah, we had a really interesting discussion and some case studies in London. Around some particular campaigns that occurred where people started off with what might be seen as more standard sort of competitions with treasure hunts around London, and they ended up with, I think it was one in four of the Foursquare people within London following this particular campaign. And really the factors that were successful in making a campaign extend virally, and what did work, what didn't work, and really also the fact that one of the things that they said was, you know, they started the campaign, but even within the campaign they had many mini campaigns, lots of failures, but then a few elements of success. And we'll try and look at some of those elements of success in what makes a campaign take off. And that's one of the reasons we're looking at, we've invited people like Dan from Flowtown to discuss A/B testing with campaigns and how to make campaigns successful within social media. So we really want to make it as, yes, there's some great theory, some great commentators, but also there's some very practical individual bits of advice and tips and things you can learn from other people's campaigns. And that's really crucial.
Marissa, anything you might add on that front?
Yeah, definitely. We had been able to gather the interest of some really awesome speakers, as Marie had mentioned, for the A/B testing in social media panel, where A/B testing is traditionally used for websites and sort of website optimization. But when we come to the world of social media, it opens up an entire new Pandora's box almost, where it's not, we're not just having to do email marketing and website marketing and optimization, but having to optimize our campaigns where we're trying to have conversations, where brands are trying to have conversations with their customers. And so how do you scale that? How do you make it grow virally? How do you have a concept that catches fire? How do you even start with that, and how do you continue to fan the fire when it comes to the point where you're starting to reach critical mass in terms of users coming onto your site? So we have great panelists, Dan Martell from Flowtown, Heaton Shaw from Kissmetrics, and I believe, was Aaron Strout on that, Murray? I believe Aaron Strout, CMO of Power.com, was on there as well.
Okay.
And we, yes, and we also have some great members in the audience. One of the founders of Napster, we're not going to drop names here, but one of the founders of Napster is going to be in the audience, and one of the founders of FriendFinder as well. And they were interested in being more so members of the audience rather than just on the panel, because they wanted to see what are my peers also doing. So that's just exemplary of members of the audience that will. But yeah, in terms of viral marketing with social media, the strategies change every year, even every 6 months. It's almost like the development of the computer chip, where Moore's Law said, hey, you know, computers are going to be need to be replaced in terms of technology 6 months or more as you reach critical mass. The same thing is happening with social media, where we have new tools, we have new apps, we have new strategies coming out every 6 months. A lot of the thought leaders in that arena will be in the room in San Francisco for social media marketing. So it's going to be quite exciting in that you're going to see a lot of household names in the room.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the huge draws. And I think any conversation where you get really smart people together will be interesting in terms of, you know, what you find, some of the findings that Marie was alluding to from the London event, for example. I think, you know, really, really interesting. A/B testing. We talked earlier about, you know, the press side of this. One thing we haven't really touched on is building community for brands. And I think that is, it's so key right now, and there's a lot of predictions from some folks that I know about how communities will unfold over time. Do you want to talk a little bit about, again, one of the chosen topic areas being communities, building communities?
Yes. So with communities, what we wanted to do was to say, hey, if you have a brand, how do you build a community around enthusiasm for your brand? How do you make sure you have a support network for your brand, even though you might have a tight, limited budget in your company, even though you might not even have a CMO or even a product marketing person? How do you generate interest from your target community or your target audience around your brand. Very often it starts with a few friends, and then you grow it to a larger community that's almost like a village, and then you grow it into a town, and then you sort of grow into a city in terms of the people who are all connected to each other, the people who have conversations about each other who aren't in your company but who are outside of your company. And those conversations matter even more because people tend to trust their friends and people they know and people that they're already connected to rather than somebody who's trying to, for example, cold call them on the phone out of the blue and trying to sign them up for a service or a product. So what we were thinking there with building communities for brands is, hey, you know, we've got a huge potential here in social media that a lot of brands aren't tapping into, or they're not tapping into correctly. What are they doing wrong? What do they need to do? What are they doing correctly? And what are the experts doing? What are other brands doing? So we're going to see a few case studies from our great speakers on that panel in terms of things that they've done at their companies and things that they would advise the audience to do.
Any thoughts on... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Murray.
One of the things that came out of the conversation in the London audience that Chris Brogan brought up was that only 5% of people on social media are actually engaged with brands. And why is that? And there's a lot of potential consumer sort of backlash against over-communication by brands. And one of the crucial and key elements for brands developing, as Marisha said, is to find advocates for the brand, to listen out for people who like the product, like the brand, and enable them to become advocates and kind of form this advocacy community and give them the tools, give them maybe it's additional content or what are called sort of social media avatars in order to... And not an avatar as you see in a traditional sense, but an actual a thing, maybe it's a photo, maybe it's a different opportunity to give them content that they can work with and that they attach to and actually enable people to engage with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see some brands like Mozilla have done this really, really well where, you know, they've actually provided a lot of assets for brand advocates to potentially use, and especially now that we've seen, you know, we've seen, for example, Edelman do the advocacy, you know, crawl, walk, run, fly. People are now calling a model for how to do advocacy. It's really interesting. Yet, you know, as you both know, I've worked very deeply with the SMB market for a large technology company, and we know that so 99.7% of U.S. businesses are small businesses. They fall in the SMB category, and 61% use social media as a business resource. They're specifically, according to a 2009 Business.com study, they're actually looking to these brands to help educate them about how they should be using social media, what they should be doing. Some of the questions that come up all the time are, you know, how much time should I commit to this, or issues around over-committing time on social networks, you know, comes up all the time. I think I saw actually a Forbes piece on this last week and, you know, thought, oh, my God, you know, I hope people don't go away thinking that that's the only way to think about you know, using the power of social networks for smaller or medium-sized businesses. But I think one of the other things, and this is sort of, you know, doubling up, that's just sort of a thought that I'll throw out there for you to respond to or not, but one of the other things I wanted to throw out there that I think is interesting and is more of a question is really that this, being a social media marketing conference, marketing is the word that stood out the most and is actually most appealing to me. So I was curious if any thought went into the fact that this is really, that this is being called a marketing event as opposed to something that, I mean, obviously any professional group or organization of any kind that's using social media could potentially attend, but you know, that it's not necessarily PR as we, you know, would typically see it. It's not, you know, talk to me a little bit about the marketing aspect, because since social media doesn't quite fit in a silo yet.
I went to a conference. I was actually speaking at a conference, a PR conference last week, and one of the really interesting things that they were discussing was whether social media fell within marketing or PR, and which department was going to be running it. And I found that really interesting because if you then look back at what I was discussing earlier about market research and customer services all being engaged within social media, for me it's something that has to come across to the whole company. But with this series, we really want to look at the marketing angle for social media, what can be done with it. And I say, you know, that's why we're also looking at specifically at campaigns, campaign tools, A/B testing, etc., and how marketers can use social media to communicate about their company. Do you want to follow up, Marissa?
Yes, indeed. I believe with as Murray sort of segmented between marketing and PR, or even just people questioning, hey, is social media more marketing oriented or PR oriented? I think it's both. And even with the panels that we have with members of the press on them, which is I believe the majority of two panels plus I think one of the other members of the press will be on one of the other panels. One of the other panels is that even with a PR outreach, there's a certain way that you need to market yourself as a person, even when it comes to PR strategies and even when it comes to brands and companies who are trying to pitch themselves and market themselves so that they are PR worthy, so that they are coverable by the media. And so we're sort of flipping the coin here and saying, hey, this is a marketing conference where we do have, where we do talk about tools and tips that you should use and how you should build an audience and how to build an evangelist community. Not just that, but also if you are trying to pitch the PR side of the house, how do you market yourselves and how do you present yourselves so that that you get a great story and that you get what you want out of PR coverage. And so we're covering both, but it's under the marketing sort of terminology here.
Interesting. I think as Murray alluded to, and you both have, you know, I think it's gonna change over time because it really doesn't fit into a traditional silo as we know it. It touches so many parts of a business. It's really, you know, you have to kind of give it a label for it to appeal to really any group, you know, to get the masses there. But I think that's one of the challenging things. And I one of the things I love is that you did use marketing in the name here, because I think that's probably, you know, an audience, certainly in terms of creativity, I see, not that there aren't creative folks in the PR landscape, but certainly there's a bit more room for it, it seems, in marketing, where they might oversee or be, you know, it could be run by a CMO or something like that that is highly creative and charged to try different things. So one of the questions I wanted to ask both of you is how you're going to be involved in the event, and make sure we, again, use let everyone know the hashtag. So if you're listening and writing about this or will be, the hashtag for the event is SMMSF. And certainly, Murray or Marissa, whoever wants to go first, I'd love to hear about how we talked a little bit really to Murray about how he'll be opening up the conference. Maybe, Marissa, this would be a good chance to include you and how you're going to be involved.
Yeah, I'm more behind the scenes and sort of orchestrating a lot of the speakers, making sure that they're comfortable, making sure that the guests are comfortable, that we have our exhibitors all set up, and sort of just running behind the scenes more so here and filling in the gaps wherever necessary. But I don't really and tend to be sort of at the forefront. I'm letting Murray shine here and just sort of helping put together the pieces and making sure the conference runs smoothly. So I think more of my role here was just recommending friends and great speakers, or both people who are friends and great speakers, as well as people I had heard the names of, and just referred them to Murray to have them as speakers here, and just sort of very integral in sort of the organizational aspects of the conference.
And Murray? Sometimes it's hard to hear on Skype.
Yeah.
Hopefully we haven't.
Maybe he dropped off.
We haven't lost him. He may have had a hard stop. We don't. Let's see. Let's take a look. No, he should still be there. Let's see.
He is opening the day, and also going to be similar to me in terms of just after he's doing the opening, just making sure that everyone's comfortable.
So, you know, both of you, and we alluded to this, you know, Marissa, you have a huge network here, huge presence on lots of amazing websites. Murray, are you back with us?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Yay!
Yay, fantastic.
I just want to give people a little bit of insight into, if they don't know who you are and why you are. We know Marissa's kick-ass, so we want to hear about how you're kick-ass.
I agree. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Blimey. So I blog at MurrayNewlands.com. I run the London Blog Club, which meets every month and really is sort of central point for a lot of social media within London. I also speak at a number of conferences, both in the UK. I was recently speaking at the Chartered Institute of PR. I was their keynote speaker here in the north of England. And I speak at affiliate summits, as well as I'll be speaking at a performance marketing event on their keynote panel for social media. And recently I was, I've just been signed up by Wiley to write a book about social media for them. Thank you very much. Thank you. And, that's actually proof that, they read my blog, they liked it, and they, signed me up. So proof that if you're a blogger and you're hoping to make it, as a writer, it is something that can happen. You can get a sort of picked up out of the blue like that. And, I'm also obviously running this event series, and we'll be running an event series about social media monitoring starting in Boston in early September, and that will be rolling out across America. Yeah, we will also be having, we plan to run these events about social media and social media marketing every couple of months from now on in San Francisco.
Oh, you'll have to let me know when you work on the social media monitoring front. I know I mentioned before I had a VC on the program from Matrix Partners a few weeks ago, and that's sort of a passion of his, is looking at all of the different monitoring tools. And there's actually a friend of mine who's been on the A-list who sits with me on the board of Social Media Club who, you know, it's all about bringing the metrics together, and yet a lot of times I sometimes work with PR companies and I sometimes work with marketing companies. And so when I say, okay, do you have personas developed, especially for big brands where you know a lot of money goes into those personas so that you can get the target audience right, you know, sometimes you'll get this look like, personas? What are you talking about? Like you're on Mars or something, and not life on Mars. But, you know, it's strange because, I mean, you really need to know the target. You need to know who you're talking to. And so anyway, I think that's going to be fascinating because I think the more we more technology is able to pair Google Analytics, so website traffic, with what's happening in the larger, you know, blogosphere and web in general, the more compelling the solutions get for lots of different segments. So I think that'll be a very interesting component. So we're nearly at the top of the hour, and I've completely taken your time. I thank you both so much for taking time to preview the Social Media Marketing Conference happening in San Francisco. Again, that's July 8th at Hotel Nico, which is in the Union Square area of San Francisco, from 9 to 5:30 p.m. The official event hashtag is SMMSF, and we encourage you to, you know, blog about it, get in touch if you have questions that you want asked, and you can go right to my blog, jenniferlindsay.com, and get your 10% discount code. And with that, any final words, guys?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jennifer. We're looking forward to you being a speaker as well, and we're really excited about that. And I think it's shaping up to be a really great event. We just wanted to thank our head sponsor, Oracle, and Justin Keeley. Justin Kesslin really made that possible, as well as the CMO of Oracle. And we're just really excited about this evolving landscape that will converge at the conference.
Fantastic. Murray, last words?
And I'd like to take this opportunity to once again have a big thank you to Marissa for helping me with everything she's done to put this together. And thank you very much for having us. I look forward to seeing you on the day.
Absolutely. Me as well. And so I thank you both. I'll let you get on with your day. Again, we were speaking with Murray Newlands and Marissa Louie, who are organizers of the Social Media Marketing 2010 conference happening in San Francisco. Again, any questions, please head over to my blog, jenniferlindsay.com, where you can get a 10% discount code. And with that, I wish you a good day. We will see you again at our regular scheduled time on Friday. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.